The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and happy Halloween! Welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street, the horror movie podcast for the casually obsessed. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And the day's finally come.
What day? Halloween day?
We're fine. Yeah. What? Today is Halloween day! No, we're finally...
Fetch me the biggest pumpkin. The one as big as me!
That's the one! Now we're finally talking about a movie that I think probably truly is the origin story of our horror obsession. Like, Halloween, we've talked about it a million times. Halloween has to be the starting point. That's, like, the real seed that got planted. But I think before going out and getting into costumes, you're at home watching cartoons as a child. And surely to God, Ichabod Crane and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow has to be like the first thing you see that you're like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, Mr. Toad. Sorry, Wind in the Willows.
But, yeah, fuck that.
As kids.
We all fast forwarded past that.
I've seen the end of Mr. Toad more times than I can count just because I like try to find the spot in the VHS tape.
And you get then to the end, you're just like, all right.
It was close enough.
Yeah. which I gotta say, sucks a little bit because there is a Universal Classic Monsters horror connection to the Wind in the Willows segment. It's narrative. Narrated by Basil Rathbone, who played the son of Frankenstein, who we recently celebrated in the Graveyard Smash podcast series Patreon. But
all right, deep cut.
Sorry, old boy, you're out of here this time.
We got Bing.
Yes, he got old Bing, old Velvet Hands himself. And he does every single goddamn character in this movie.
So he should.
Yeah.
It's mostly songs, and therefore, Bing.
So we're going to get into three good things about The Legend of Sleepy Hollow in a second, and then we're going to just gush about this movie for 40 minutes. It's truly one of the greatest pieces of animated film.
We're going to gush about it longer than its runtime.
Yeah, it's what, 37 minutes long? We're gonna be here for at least the next 4.5 hours talking about how good it is, breaking it down second by second. We're one of those podcasts.
No, we're not.
No.
No.
But I do kind of want to hold your feet to the fire a little bit.
Don't hold my feet to the fire.
Just based on story alone, you can only choose one. Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow or Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven.
No.
those have to be the two Halloween-ish-est stories, right? There are two short stories in the world, in American literature, that embody New England, but also Halloween specifically. And I cannot think of a year in my life that has gone by that I haven't taken in both of those stories, right?
Via The Simpsons.
Via The Simpsons and via Disney. Yes, and this year also via Keith Morrison from Dateline, Sleepy Hollow or The Raven. Which one's better? Which one? I'm just leaving it at that. Which one's better? And then maybe, I guess, which one do you think embodies Halloween more?
I have to go with my gut. I'm going to go with The Legend of Sleepy Hollow for both.
I cannot disagree. Legend of Sleepy Hollow, definitely more of a Halloween story than The Raven. But
The Raven's more about like psychological torment. It's like, ah, fuck this bird. And that's that.
Yeah, I think truly a better story. That'd be my number one pick. Like, I think ultimately if I had to throw one into the fire that I could never enjoy ever again, God, I don't like the sound of that. But The Raven, I think, is the ultimate. But I do think it's very important that we both agree Legend of Sleepy Hollow is like the heart and soul of Halloween, right?
The quintessential Halloween tale. Like, yeah. Every urban legend, and we covered one last week, they're all springing from the roots of Sleepy Hollow.
Well, last week's was 100% a great value brand, Sleepy Hollow. Like, it's very, very much a Sleepy Hollow story.
I mean, but every legend is trying to capitalize on this, like, tiny New England fall autumn town,
yeah,
with a very spooky story attached to it.
Yeah, have you ever seen New England in the fall? It's gorgeous. We also just happen to live... Growing up, we just happened to live in, like, basically Canada's New England, so we've kind of just always grown up in that. But, like, goddamn, sweater weather, man, I miss it. We get it for a week out here in the Canadian tundra where we live now. But for anybody who hasn't revisited Ichabod Crane and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow in a little while, and I guess also for everybody out there who's also been obsessing about this their entire lives, what are only three good things about this animated short film?
And we don't want to elaborate too much because we want to talk about it in a little bit. So for the first one, I'm going to say that it's the scariest animated Disney cartoon.
So like best gateway horror for children.
Of the animated stuff.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know we did a Dark-Ass Disney double feature where we did a couple of their very scary live-action films. And Disney did explore some live-action spook shows. They got pretty scary. But as for animated stuff, this is fucking nightmare fuel.
Yeah, it's also, number two, a incredible example of sound design and soundscapes. There's an entire sequence in the movie where we're exploring Ichabod Crane's superstitious fear, but we show exactly where each of those sounds comes from. Like, he's terrified of the forest and all the weird, creepy sounds that it makes, but we zero in on where every single one of them's coming from, kind of like that scene in Blowout where John Travolta's got the microphone and he's hearing all the weird noises before he witnesses a murder.
Number three, like a Halloween classic thing that we definitely need to bring back.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be a thing. Ghost stories by the fire.
Oh, fuck. Well, first off, we all need to get fires.
Step one, yeah. Everyone gets a fire. Step two, you need to know a ghost story like a fucking knock-knock joke. You need to have one at the ready.
That's the thing. It's just like, oh, yeah, like old man Van Tassel loved when people would regale him with ghost stories. It's like, you just need to know a ghost story the way people used to just know poetry.
Yeah, just in case your wagon gets stuck in the mud and you need to stay at a fellow pilgrim's house.
Oh, God.
You need a fucking story.
That's the way to hear a ghost story where you're just like, I think this guy's going to murder me before the end of the night.
Dear stranger, tell us about ghosts.
That's the next political platform I need. We need a fire in every home and a ghost in every nightmare. That's who I'm voting for sure. And like, you know what? Does not have to be a hearth. You don't have to actually have a fireplace.
You can have Cliff Notes. I would not be insulted if you pulled Cliff Notes out of your pocket with your ghost story at the ready.
Oh, I was talking more about the fire.
You just need to have one.
You can just have a fire on a tablet. That's fine. You're like, we all just sit around the LED glow and we regale each other with tales of the afterlife. Yeah, fucking ghost stories at Halloween. Man, what a great way to spend it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing better is a ghost story at Christmas. It's honestly just like anytime we have to get together, because none of us want to leave the house, but if we have to get together somewhere, ghost stories. I want somebody to scare my pants off as a reward for having to leave the house. Those are just three good things. We're just scratching the surface, because there truly are 100 more good things about The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, both the live action and the animated classic, but we're talking about the animated short today. And we'll be back in a minute to dive deep on everything that we love about this Halloween ghost story.
Hey, Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Ichabod.
Boom, 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 boom.
Ichabod and Mr. Toad. Ichabod, Ichabod. Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
For a rollicking ride through Sleepy Hollow, Walt and Bing bring to laughable, colorful life Washington Irving's exciting legend with that awkward schoolmaster, Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod may be quaint, maybe odd, and maybe he ain't. Anyway, there's no complaint from Ichabod, Ichabod Crane.
Ichabod Crane, daring, reckless, losing his heart to Katrina the cutie. And his head when pursued by the hair-raising headless horseman.
Okay, so no word of a lie, and I mentioned this last week at the end of the show. This was the very first scare I recall.
This is the first time you remember being scared.
Mm-hmm. And it very thoroughly scared me. This 30 minutes of television, or this 30-minute special, scared me for years
now,
as a
kid. I have some insider knowledge on this, because I've known Kim for a very long time, and I know the exact part of this that terrified her the most, and we're going to pause for a second. I want everybody to place their bets. Like, just think back to your favorite scenes from the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, you know, where the fucking horseman pops up, we've got the fucking, like, a pumpkin go, we got a whole ass ghost story, we got weird fucking faces, Ichabod Crane eats a fucking hot egg that, like, turns his head into, like, a demon steam.
A hot egg.
We got a weird old guy in a chair going like, some don't even wear the skin. You're like, I don't know where that guy came from, but he's spooky looking.
Fucking Nosferatu out of nowhere.
Yeah, but what does everybody think the scariest moment of this entire short film was for Kim?
Okay, so there's a single moment, but the entire sequence where he's riding in the dark after the story.
The whole fucking thing?
It's fucking nightmare fuel. Like, as a nervous kid, the tension of walking in the woods at night, I guess I was a very immersed child.
Uh-huh.
And it was just too much for me. Like, all
this.
Of the sounds, like, I used to have to, like, reason in my head, like, oh, look, they're not the horsemen. Like, that's just a, you know, like a bullfrog. That's a raven.
We think that there's a
tree with some June bugs in it. I was mentally like, look, it's okay, Kim. We can keep watching.
Kim was living the anxiety of Ichabod Crane in this moment.
I relate to Ichabod in a way.
You relate to anxiety. That's what it comes to. Anybody in a horror movie who's just like, oh, what's going to happen if I turn this doorknob? You're like, God, don't turn the doorknob!
The scary stuff is not what scared me. Like, once the Headless Horseman was there, I was fine.
Well, you got a reason to be scared now.
I was about it. I was like, look at this fucking chase. This is great. He's got no head. But leading up to it, I could not handle it. It was so fucking scary, which is really weird saying I could not handle it, because I was the one putting the VHS into the VCR,
yes.
Fast-forwarding
yes.
through the toad.
This is all you.
And pressing play every Halloween, but it fucking terrified me. But the moment.
Yeah.
The...
What's the goddamn moment?
The quintessential nightmare fuel moment of Ichabod and not Mr. Toad is when he... And his horse, he thinks he's riding, and we look down and his horse's butt is stuck on a tombstone.
The horse is a fucking asleep.
The horse is great. But we're still hearing the like clop, 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 clop of the riding horse.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Ichabod gets tossed over onto a log and he sees that it's bulrushes.
The bulrushes.
Bulrushes like whapping on the log, making the sound of a galloping horse.
Clop, clop.
And the fucking laugh he lets out is just so fucking terrifying. They put this weird audio on it to really like give it a tunnely, echoey sound.
Uh-huh.
No other audio in the short has that kind of rendering on
Doesn't
it.
Doesn't sound anything like it, yeah.
but it's deranged.
Yes. Well, his eyes are a little weird. Like he's very happy to realize that he's kind of laughing at himself a little bit. Like, oh, how could I have
it's
been
so
silly?
It's not a scary moment, but just the audio there. Like it further exemplifies how deep in the hollow he is.
Yeah.
Like he's in the hollow, he's alone.
Yeah. It's great. It's a cool little moment too, because he's letting off the steam. The release valve has gone. You're like, okay, everything's all right. We're fine. And then the fucking horseman pops out of nowhere.
Looking all majestic with his magenta cape and his fucking purple backlighting.
It's so hard to talk about on the podcast. Like, that would truly have been one of my good things if I had flashcards or this was a slide presentation. Because just, like, the color palette of when the horseman shows up is amazing. Like, in the forest, everything's black, everything's dark green. We got a couple, like, bugs and whatnot that are...
The entire color palette of the second half of the short is... completely different from the first half.
Yeah.
The first half you get like regular Disney cartoon, you know, there's townspeople with, you know, like a primary color up top and another primary color on the bottom.
Everything's very warm.
It's well lit. We're in houses.
Golden,
you know,
green, baby.
Yeah, and like we're singing songs with a piano. Ichabod's eating tons of food. But when we are in the hollow, it's blue and dark and eerie and the clouds are evil and the tree branches are spooky and it's just such good animation.
I love to imagine that the Headless Horseman has set up floodlights so that way when he pops up, it's just like, I got purple, bitch! And then, you know, then there's another green floodlight that goes off and then it hits, you know, Ichabod in the face. He's got an orange-ass pumpkin. Like, we get Halloween colors when we're in the hollow, in the forest, fighting that fucking horseman. It's incredible.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The cool thing too about it, like at least with the live action one, is like they really kind of paid pretty good tribute to this sequence in the horse chase with Johnny Depp. Because there's the whole rigmarole of like, oh, I wind up backwards on my horse, and like, oh, now I'm on the horseman's horse with the horseman. Like, they actually kind of do all of that in the carriage chase sequence in the movie.
In Tim Burton's,
yeah. That's about the only thing they really lift from it.
No, because they really play, I mean... I think in casting Johnny Depp, you cannot have an Ichabod that's, you know, aloof and lanky. And I mean, he's a little aloof, but he's very, he's lost the lanky. He's charming. He's not after Katrina's money.
So here's the thing. And this, I wasn't exactly sure when we were going to bring it up, if it was going to be like a early talking point or what I was going to end the entire podcast on. But like, that's the coolest thing about both of these movies. Like, obviously,
Ichabod's a shitty protagonist.
Ichabod is the shittiest protagonist. He, despite having a fucking demon ghost guy who's got no goddamn head chasing people through the forest, it was probably just fucking Brom.
we'll talk about that.
Ichabod is the villain of this story.
I think villain is a little harsh.
I do not think so.
Okay. Give me your points. Come on, argue to me.
So, let's roll it right back to the beginning. We've got Ichabod. He is a school teacher who has rolled into Sleepy Hollow, probably from New York. He's from New York City!
I think he's from Connecticut, but sure.
Is he from Connecticut?
I think so.
What a nice place to live. Anyway, and he gives up the glory of that countryside, that idyllic land that everybody abandons New York for, to go teach in Sleepy Hollow, which I gotta assume has to be how most teachers showed up in small towns. They were taught in the big city, and then they spread out into smaller villages to educate the farmland community, mm-hmm. right? So every teacher showing up is kind of just a fucking city slicker who doesn't really understand this way of life. They're incredibly greedy and opportunistic, and they're just there to profit off of whatever the fuck they can get their grubby little hands on. Ichabod is absolutely no different. I think it's important to his character that he's got such an appetite. And
he's very gluttonous.
That's it. That's exactly it. He devours everything that he can get his hands on.
Well, he's gluttonous. He's gluttonous for the food.
Yes.
He's gluttonous for the women. And he's gluttonous for the wealth.
That's so that he does not actually love Katrina. When Katrina shows up in the village, Ichabod has already sort of established himself. He's ingratiated himself in a lot of different aspects of the community. He's making, rather than punishing kids that are shitheads in his class, he makes good with their mothers because they're good cooks. He's a fucking con artist, and he just weasels his way into every corner of society so he can essentially have a free meal every day of the week. And when he meets Katrina, I think he's smitten by her good looks and her youthful charm, like everybody else in the village, because she's just like the budding beauty of the town. But the thing that really gets him about her is the family's money.
Yeah.
He wants the farm. He wants the wealth that comes with it. He wants the status. He doesn't actually dream about Katrina.
He does dream about Katrina a little bit.
He dreams about Katrina for a half a second until he remembers the farm. Like, we literally see his daydreams of the wheat turning into gold and the lettuce turning into just like piles of money. And then him literally becoming her father.
I know, when he's talking about her dad eventually dying, and he in this vision just assumes the position in the chair with all the jewelry the dad was wearing. It was just like, whoa.
He doesn't want to do any of the work required to run a farm or own a farm.
To run the fucking schoolhouse.
No. He is such a degenerate. When we see him in his apartment, it's like when you see the maniac in Maniac. Like, he is living in a tiny little hovel. He's got a cracked ass mirror. He's using chalk as his aftershave. He is nothing but the illusion of a real person. He's a monster.
Okay.
And Brom knows and that's why he runs about a fucking town.
Okay, wait a minute. So I will agree with you on all of your points up to this point. But I do also need to remark on the fact that there was a social currency back then.
Uh-huh.
If a lone single man comes to town.
Sure.
And he's an eligible bachelor.
Yes.
How the town is going to handle him, they're going to take care of him. They're going to be feeding him. He's going to be in a different house every night eating food,
mm-hmm.
because he's probably staying in, you know, like the attic of some family's house. Like, because he's a single man. He's not going to have his own place.
Sure.
That's just how it was, John.
Yeah, but I think
he is also a huge dick, though. So.
Yeah, because he is abusing their
goodwill.
Their goodwill, thank you. Like, the welcome wagon, everything about it. He is just riding high and doing everything he can to make sure that the party keeps rolling. Like, everything is for Ichabod. He doesn't care about anybody else. He's only leading a choir practice
because he's Bing Crosby.
Because he's Bing Crosby, and because they're going to bring lunch. Like, he's only there for the free lunch. Which is kind of what's so great about this, because it isn't until I'm an adult necessarily that I realize that. Like, I just think, like, he's just a goofy, lanky guy who's got a really big appetite.
Yeah, as a kid, you're just laughing at all, like, the foodie hijinks. But when you're older, you're like, did he just steal a pie from that lady?
He steals a lot of food. And the other thing is, like, it feels just kind of like a city mouse, country mouse situation, right? Like, on the surface, that's what it is. Like, he hasn't grown up in this town. He's an outsider. He's very, you know, early days of becoming a member of the community. So, of course, he's a little backwards from everybody else. And they all look at him a little funny because he's prim and proper and not, like, rough and tumble. He's not a fucking farmer. He's not one of the Sleepy Hollow boys who hangs out and plays schnooker and drinks schnapps, right? But he...
Half the Sleepy Hollow boys are dogs, by the way.
Yes, the Sleepy Hollow boys are mostly dogs and a couple farmers. And
And Brom.
And Brom, who seems to be just delivering barrels of beer for everybody. He's great.
So we need to talk about Brom, though, because this is another thing that I noticed more as an adult watching it.
Uh-huh.
And in the narration, they basically say Brom is harmless. They say he's a decent guy.
Is it because of, like, the Beauty and the Beast?
That's what I was gonna say. I think as kids, he gives us total Gaston vibes.
I thought they were interchangeable.
And Gaston is such a douche.
Yeah.
So we're immediately like, look at this fucking Gaston over here Ichabod's shit.
Yeah, they say that he's loud and boisterous, but he's also like, he's a good member of the community. He's an upstanding guy. He is harmless, and he is considered a hero of the town. Like, he's, you know, he'd be the football quarterback
in
100
years. To
be fair,
Katrina is homecoming queen and he's homecoming king.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they are fated to be together in this town if Ichabod did not show up.
Yeah, and Ichabod sort of, you know, creates a love triangle there. Like, she's clearly using Ichabod.
She's using everyone.
She's using everybody, but, like, why wouldn't she? Like why the fuck not?
Okay, so it's okay when Katrina does it, but when Ichabod does it.
I don't know that she's necessarily, like, she is playing 3D chess and these boys are playing dominoes, and they don't even know the rules, you know? Because she is essentially putting Ichabod between her and Brom to try and get Brom to soften his edges a little bit. Like, hey man, cool it down a little. Like, if he sees me with this Ichabod guy, maybe he won't be as, like, big and muscly and everything. Like, maybe he'll try and adopt some of, like, the softer qualities of Ichabod and become a better match for me. Like, I just need him to wear out some of the testosterone that's fueling every decision he's making right now as a probably 17-year-old boy.
Well, it's also just like a courting period. Like, back then, that's kind of what happened. Like, I'm sure Baltus Van Tassel, I don't even know if he's called Baltus in this.
I think he is. Yeah.
Okay, Baltus Van Tassel in this is probably having these parties in order for his daughter to meet, like, all of the eligible bachelors in town.
What a weird time, eh?
Like, that's what was happening.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's
Halloween party.
Halloween party. And you don't tell me a ghost story? You cannot have her hand in marriage. Man, what a world to live in where, like, that's the thing, how you, like, you win over your father-in-law, like, you tell a dope ghost story by the fire? Damn. And the ghost story is important because, like, even when we're first sort of just, like, establishing this and we're coming into the story and Bing's talking about where Sleepy Hollow is, it's just, you know, back when New York City was nothing but a simple mining town, a little ways north we had Terrytown.
That's pretty good.
And then, tucked away a little beyond that is Sleepy Hollow.
You're doing, like, the Nick Cage version of Bing.
Yeah. It's really just a lot of seesaw between up here and down here. Like, that's all you gotta do.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Put the bunny back in the box. he does talk about it being a superstitious town, which you would, as a city person, go like, oh, aren't all small towns, like, they don't understand science, which is our Ichabod from the live-action Sleepy Hollow. Like, they aren't as educated and as worldly as we are in the big city, so they rely on myths and superstition.
Yeah, but Ichabod is super fucking superstitious.
He's superstitious and scared, but I don't think that he derives a lot of his life lessons from those ghost stories and fables that we tell people.
Okay, but when he walks into town, he purposely avoids a ladder. He deroutes a black cat.
Yeah, it's
like,
good. It's
he's
good.
He's a superstitious boy, and Brom knows this, and that's why he tells the story.
Oh, absolutely. This story's tailor-made for Ichabod Crane. But part of it is a defense mechanism for these small towns from yuppie fucks like Ichabod Crane.
Oh, like, you can't handle it here.
Yeah, you can't live here. We got ghosts. Oh, you might as well go back to the city. I mean, like, yeah, sure. I mean, like, it's nice and ideal.
Don't touch
here,
our women.
Like,
we got ghosts.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's the same reason Iceland isn't called Greenland and Greenland isn't called Iceland. Like, it was, at least I've always assumed, it was just a fake out. You know?
You assume it was on purpose?
Oh, yeah. Totally. We named the bad one Greenland. Greenland, so people obviously go there first, and they avoid Iceland. We all know it's great. These ghost stories were designed for life lessons and to scare away people. Like, nowadays, we bring tourists in with those stories, but...
Yeah, like, Tarrytown is, like, cashing in on this legend.
Yeah, Tarrytown, Salem, Massachusetts, like, literally anywhere in New England you go has a ghost story. Like, outside of New England, it's a true crime story. Like, anywhere near the East Coast, ghosts. In the Midwest and the West Coast, probably murder. Like, that's what's bringing things over. Like, we've got a fucking giant rock with some president's faces on it and stuff.
And some cowboys.
Yeah. We've got something. But, like, the ghost stories now are what attract tourists. But previously, they were kind of like, ooh, you gotta watch out for this place. Ooh, I don't know. It's nice and all, but you might want to just, oh, if we could leave, we would. But it's good that you're just passing through.
Yeah, like, in 1902, people weren't flocking to Tarrytown to, like, go over the bridge.
No. Which, that, hey, by the way, if you want to go, that bridge still exists. It's not the same.
It's got a sign. It doesn't have the cover, does it?
No, it's not a covered bridge anymore. It's
Which
just like
so sad.
Any
but there's
old,
a really fucking cool graveyard right by it.
An incredible graveyard that you have to take tours on. It closes itself off at night, which sucks. It's
yeah,
like
well,
the, night's the one time you want to go. So if you could find like a nice foggy day, take a nice afternoon tour through the graveyard at Sleepy Hollow. And case in point on how those stories work is the legend of Sleepy Hollow. Like, this story, even back when it was written way in the day, and now when we watch it, is about how these stories protect this community.
This is found footage, is what you're saying.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Like, we are reading the story by the fireside of a story by a fireside. That's, yeah it's, okay, that's fair. That's cool.
That's exactly it. Like, Brom obviously liked Katrina, but I think he's taking more of a protective role here by pretending to be the Headless Horseman, maybe, and running Ichabod out of town. Like, obviously he wants Katrina more than anything else, but I think inherently he knows that this guy does not belong in the community and is only bad news. Like, if he just stayed and he was a teacher and then, like, you know, maybe just was happy with that station in his life, it'd be fine. But he is a cancer that is coming into the community that will spread and will ruin things. Like, he's going to upend their way of life slowly but surely.
Yeah, but science is good.
I didn't say...
Change is good.
I didn't say that educating them was bad. I just said that he's not going to respect this. He's not going to respect the land. He's not going to respect their way of life. Like, they're philosophically opposed, and he's going to run that farm into the ground.
Okay, fine. It's fair. I mean, these are Brom concerns, but they're fair concerns.
Yes. Yeah. Now, the only thing that I'll say pokes a hole in what I have outlined here is one incredible moment.
I know the moment. I got the moment. It's when Ichabod is almost run to the bridge.
Yes.
But then he gets stuck in the mud. The horse gets turned around. He's running away. He collides with the Headless Horseman.
Yes.
And he looks down the neck and it laughs.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's that is 100% it. But let's Ichabod's fear level is level 10 right now. So as long as Brom's wearing a black hat under there, you know, he'd never see the top of Brom's head, and he would assume that he was looking into the abyss of a ghost's cape.
Yeah, I was going to come to this podcast theorizing and seeing what you thought if it was Brom actually doing it.
Yeah.
Definitely in the original legend, Brom totally ran him out of town. In both the Disney and the Tim Burton, paranormal, right?
These are
Brom's fucking around with the story, and then in the 1999 one, there is an incident where he does pretend to be the Headless Horseman.
Sure, yeah.
And throws the pumpkin or whatever, but then we find out it's Brom, and then Brom gets sliced in half, and we love it.
Love it when he gets sliced in half.
That's, like, the best fucking death ever.
Yes. I don't know. Like, these are my favorite ghost stories, where there is clear-cut evidence that proves that there is a reason and a explanation for all of it, except for one little thing that throws it all up in the air, which is him looking down the collar and I assume seeing that there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I love a ghost story that is essentially, it's presenting itself as a ghost story. Like, oh no, we're totally about a headless horseman. I'm totally just a fucking demon Hessian from the earth that's running you out of this forest. I want your fucking head, bro.
I like that he'll settle for a pumpkin until he gets a head.
Yeah, well, he's practical.
This is great.
Yeah, it's like...
How festive.
Yeah. Yeah, so those are my favorite ghost stories. That sort of, like, play both sides, but ultimately tip just a little more into paranormal. So, like, you can look at it one way or the other, and chances are it's not paranormal. But maybe. Like, that's all I want. I want a ghost story.
Yeah, there's not
to
enough
a,
to try, Brahma.
Yeah, no, there is not beyond a reasonable doubt can I say that this is not a paranormal incident.
And it's pretty great how ambiguous the ending is, because all we're left with in the morning is Ichabod's hat and a smashed pumpkin.
Yeah.
So, like, very easy for Brahm to do. If he's scared Ichabod out of town, one, it proves that Ichabod didn't really care about Katrina that much. If he's just like, you know what, fuck this town, it's too spooky.
Uh-huh.
I can just go teach somewhere else. And he doesn't have many roots here. He can uproot instantly.
Also, we do show, just to add a little more point, or a little more weight to my argument here, we do end with saying that, like, rumor has it that he's out living with some old widow. Like, so he immediately took over some old helpless woman's life and is just living off her fortune.
And has, like, 12 Ichabod-looking children.
They look just like him.
They do. They have the huge nose.
They got a huge nose.
But then there's also, like, if you want to go really dark,
oh,
that Brahm killed him.
Oh, yeah, that's you're right. That is dark. Like, that is.
Which... if you want to make somebody disappear and yeah, you've got a ghost legend one night a year where people can be spirited away.
So now the ghost story that he has told at the party isn't to drive
premeditated murder.
It's not to drive fear into the hearts of Ichabod Crane. It's laying a groundwork for covering up a murder.
I can't wait to see what Keith Morrison thinks on Dateline. I really can't. He's going to read it. What's the podcast called?
It's called Morrison Mysteries.
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to Dateline, he's got, like, the smoothest true crime voice in the biz, and he's going to read Sleepy Hollow, and it's going to be dope.
Yeah, at the end, it's going to be like...
There better be theories.
There was never no one saw any sign of Ichabod after that. Pretty convenient for Brahm, if you ask me.
Or did he?
Fucking Keith Morrison.
So what, like, if you could just put money down, I know it's an ambiguous ending and it's ambiguous for a reason, probably because there isn't a real answer.
Yeah.
But if you could put money down on one, like, if you were to say this is probably the most likely one, which would you pick?
That Brahm is the headless horseman who runs Ichabod out of town. And that he didn't kill him, but scared him away completely.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I put money on. My heart, though.
Spirited away.
Spirited away by a ghost. Yeah. No, like, Headless Horseman is real, and maybe it was just the telling of the story that brought him back. Maybe he does come along every Halloween night. I love to pretend and believe that the horseman is real.
Yeah, and to further your point earlier about how, like, the townspeople, like, love the ghost stories, and it's only Ichabod that's frightened of it, while Brahm is singing his spooky story, which is another moment of the film that just looks fantastic, because his song, like, he's illuminated by the fire.
Backlit, yeah.
And the cartoon, they, like, outline him in yellow firelight. It looks so good.
They make everything about the entire scene scary. Like, it's a great little prelude to the spooky dark forest, because everything's, like, covered in shadows and, like, loom over Ichabod.
It's so spooky, like, so Halloween spirit, like, dialed up to 11. But while he's singing that song, while he's telling the ghost story, we cut to Katrina and she's laughing and having a fucking blast.
Yeah, exactly.
She is loving it.
She's like, because
spooky spook.
Yeah, and, like, I think that's true about everybody in that room. They're all having a ball with this story, knowing that the story's not real. But, like, there's a nugget of, like, here's the thing about every sort of, like, homespun farm tale wisdom and, like, spooky little stories you hear everywhere. Even just, like, folklore from the old country, you know, it all has a nugget of truth to it. Like, either something about the human existence or just, like, usually a fear of death or just sort of some sort of PSA. Hundreds of years before television, like, something about this is either to warn people about an actual real life danger or to, I don't know, explore an existing underlying fear that everybody has.
So, you know? What is the PSA here? Don't use a sleepy horse. Like,
you can't reason with a headless man. And I don't think Ichabod Crane has a good head on his shoulders. There's no reasoning with him. You got to get him the fuck out. Mm-hmm. I literally just pulled that out of my ass right now.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah.
Another thing I noticed, I think maybe just on this watch, is that his horse, Ichabod's horse, it's not his horse.
No.
He steals that horse.
Do you think he steals it?
He still has the hoe on him.
Yeah, so so Bing's obviously being a little satirical or sarcastic here because he does say that he... Oh, does he say he procures or borrows?
I don't know, but that's definitely not his horse.
It's not his horse, yeah, because it's got the hoe on it.
They're well matched, though.
He doesn't even know well enough to take the goddamn hoe off the horse before leaving to go to the party. He's just lucky it snaps off and breaks. He's a complete idiot. He does not belong in this town.
Yeah, it is surprising to watch it, like, how not good of a guy Ichabod is.
Yeah, but and the funny part is that he's still so lovable. And I think it's just because he's gangly, and he's tall, and he's just weirdly shaped, you know? Like, he's kind of a lovable idiot. But Brom knows the real danger behind a lovable idiot. Like, they all look like they're just sleepy, simple folk, but they know more about people than Ichabod thinks.
Well, and this is not the first schoolmaster they've had.
Exactly.
Why are they replacing their schoolmaster?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. You think this is like a Wicker Man mm-hmm. scenario? Like, every year they have to sacrifice a fucking schoolmaster to the Headless Horseman?
That's a good story.
That is a good story.
Like, they keep bringing in these single men, and they rope them in with Katrina.
Oh, so it's a real, this is a combo between the original Wicker Man and the new Wicker Man.
The whole town is involved.
Yeah. It's right after the harvest, just like that movie Dark Harvest, if you guys have watched that hit Amazon Prime this year, and the honey trap ladies of Neil LaBute's The Wicker Man.
I think the only other thing I want to mention that we didn't really talk about is just how well done the action sequences are.
Oh, God.
Like, it's fun and it's silly, and I think that's in a way for Disney to alleviate how scary that sequence is where Ichabod is being chased by the Headless Horseman. Like, they do a really good job of making it hijinks.
Yes.
But the animation is just so fast and furious. I can't recall an action sequence from original, like, classic Disney cartoons, like, when they were hand-drawn. Like, this is 1949. Mm-hmm. That is this fast-paced and action-filled. Like, these characters are doing crazy things.
I know.
The horses, like, just the movement, the switching of positions. It's bonkers.
That was the beauty of Disney back in the day, too. Like, there's camera movement with the animation. Like, there's, like, crane movements in a 2D world. Like, we are swooping around the horseman and Ichabod in a sequence where we're basically going around a tree. Or where the...
Or, like, when he goes down into the ditch and the horseman
pops up out of the fucking air. Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, can't sing the praises enough of old school animation, like that old classic Disney animation. There's nothing like it. And there are layers to the animation in this that you usually it's mostly used to show, like, the encroaching forest and, like, how it's sort of, like, swallowing Ichabod up, or how the clouds are hands that are just, like,
oh, such a good shot.
Yeah. Right. Just, like, closing the moon in their palms. It's so good. You know that this won a Golden Globe for Best Cinematography?
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's like, and this is back when they were still splitting up awards based on color and black and white. So it won Best Cinematography for in color. But this was combo Wind in the Willows and Ichabod Crane. So it's kind of the both of them together. Mm-hmm. But I just love that it's not Best Animation. It's Best Cinematography, period.
That's pretty cool. I wish animation could be considered among the other categories, because it is still, like, same as how horror and action and even superhero stuff aren't really recognized. Animation is always, like, shoved into its own little category, unless they're dealing with song. Song is the only one where you find it overlaps. Like, it's either a musical or an animated movie.
Yeah.
Because way back when, Snow White was with the regular movies, because Snow White was cinema.
Right. I mean, we're starting to see that a little bit now. Like, we are starting to see more animated movies get nominated for, like, Best Feature, not just Best Animated Feature.
Just Pixar.
Well, yeah. I mean...
You made us cry. Here's your vote.
Well, I mean, back in the 40s and the 30s, like, what movie studio was there other than Disney that was getting those accolades, right?
Yeah,
like, of course, we've only really got one house, maybe two, that's doing it now. Sorry, Sony. We all love, you know, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, but you're not winning the awards. to your point, like all the action sequences, all of the bits of this, there is a whole hour and a half feature condensed into like 37 minutes here, and it's really fucking tight, and every single time I watch it, I see some tiny little new detail that's great. The other fun thing is to watch how creepy everybody's eyes are in this movie. Pretty much every character in the movie has a moment where their eyes do something really fucking weird and bizarre.
What?
Even the choir girls, when they like before they pass out, they have like these double blinks where their eyes are all white because their eyeballs have rolled into the back of their heads. Ichabod Crane eats that weird egg. His eyes roll in the back of his head, and then he turns an entirely different color. The guy who's sitting in a chair, he's like, some don't even wear their skin. Obviously, I'm obsessed with that guy. His eyes go green right before he disappears. We've got a headless horseman who's got fire for eyes. We've got pumpkins that cats are hiding in, and the eyeballs are peeking out of them, too.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of eye things.
Fireflies are the eyeballs of a weird ghost reaching out to Ichabod. Like, there's a lot of human embodiment in the foresty stuff, but yeah, everybody's eyes are weird in this movie. It's kind of like a Fulci thing, you know, like Fulci's just like, I don't know, fuck it, let's stab him in the eye. The legend of Sleepy Hollow is also just like, isn't it fucking weird when eyeballs don't look normal?
Well, because eyeballs are the window to the soul. And the headless horseman
has no soul.
Doesn't have eyes.
God damn, I love this movie.
So good. Such a good legend. I think we should celebrate tonight by watching the 1999 version.
I like that idea.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like I've talked myself into liking it a little bit less just based on the original legend. Like, I'm kind of sad that...
Oh, you're saying me talking about Ichabod ruined it for you a little bit?
No, that just, like, Brahm is diminished and, like, that Ichabod is really the hero and he's such a good guy. Like, it's a fantastic film. It is a great blend of horror and, like, Halloween fun.
Yeah.
But I'm a little sad that it didn't stay truer to the legend now.
Oh, no.
And I never had that feeling.
Oh, that's
before.
Interesting. That's one of the things that I've liked about it so much is that
because it is it's very paranormal. Like the headless horseman is a fucking thing.
Hell yeah!
And the outfits are great.
He comes from the afterlife out of a fucking dead tree.
Oh,
where like the,
so good.
The heads, like the inside of the tree is guts, and the heads are all there. Man,
it's good.
It's incredible.
It's really good.
But the thing I like it more
but
for that
But it means
reason.
We're still open it's... for a Sleepy Hollow interpretation that...
I don't want another one.
That makes it Brahm.
No, I don't. No, we've got two. They're both perfect. They're both different.
True.
Don't
that's
fuck
true.
With it. Do not give me a Sleepy Hollow musical. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. That's how it's going to go, and I don't mm-hmm. want that. Don't listen to Kim. She does not speak for the both of us.
And that said, my rating is 4 out of 4.
Oh, God, yeah. It's a perfect movie.
Yeah. It's been with me so long, and I have, like... I don't think a single Halloween has gone by that I have not watched it.
Exactly. And have not watched it 18 times. Like, we'll watch it like, ooh, let's ring in the Halloween season by watching Ichabod Crane. And then like, oh, for shits and giggles, let's just watch it again the next morning while we have coffee. Like, all the time. If I could watch it, if we could have one room in our house where it was just always on.
Just the Ichabod room?
Yeah. That sounds great.
Well, it's cool, too, because this is the first Halloween in a while that we haven't been traveling. So I've actually been able to do the 31-day horror challenge.
Yeah.
But all years previous, like when we were traveling in the RV and stuff, we would always bring this and watch it on our tiny little TV VCR combo while we drank our coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
And like that became such a fun little tradition. I'm kind of sad that we're not doing it this year, but it has been fun to be able to do the 31-day horror challenge for once.
I can put it on a tablet and we can watch it in the backseat of the car if you want. Like, I can just do that.
It's not as magical.
No. There is nothing out there that embodies Halloween quite the way that The Legend of Sleepy Hollow does. A lot of what I've been discussing today is watching it as a 30-year-old, you know?
Like, and having seen it 120 times.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I'm really watching it now. But, like, as a kid, growing up, even now...
None of those nuances landed.
No.
None of them. Like, there was spooky ending, there was funny food guy in the beginning,
yes,
and there
it.
Was
yeah.
scary story Brahm in the middle.
That's the alternate title. Like, oh, man, I love when funny food guy gets attacked by that headless guy. Yeah, it's truly something special, and it's something that I hope you guys also, and I've got to assume, probably include as part of your Halloween watch list. And I'm glad we finally talked about it here on the podcast. We've been, I think since year one, I've been like, we should do Sleepy Hollow, maybe. And it's just like something we've always put off, but it wouldn't be Halloween without the Headless Horseman, right?
So sad, but that concludes our Halloween coverage for the year. This is our very last episode before Halloween. So yeah. John and I want to wish you a very happy, spooky, scary Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
We hope you have an amazing time at whatever parties and costumes and whatever you're doing. Even if it's just staying home and handing out candy and watching movies, that's fantastic. Order yourself a pizza. You deserve it. But let us know what you're up to, what you're doing. You can tweet at us at NOFS Podcast. You can find us in the NOFS Podcast Discord. That is at NOFSPodcast.com/Discord. There's tons of different channels. You can chat about movies. You can share your costumes. You can do whatever you want to do in there. It's kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah, and we've still got a few days left in the Patreon feed. Every episode that we have put out in October is free for you to listen to, whether or not you're a member of the Fiend Club. We've got a drive home from the drive-in review of The Exorcist Believer. We've got a preview of our Graveyard Smash podcast series talking about The Invisible Man. We've got a What's Keeping Us Creepy. If you're looking for more stuff to watch this Halloween season, it's your ultimate streaming guide. Maybe a couple indie movies that you'd missed if you're looking for something to watch on Halloween night. And if you need more content, we're keeping Halloween alive 365 here in the podcast feed and in the Fiend Club. Join us.
Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, NOFSPodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.